For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Studio, 7 o'clock on The Fan. The Yankees win last night in Washington. You got the Mets starting this series in Arizona coming up later tonight. The Yankees now a 2-game lead atop the AL East as the Orioles did not play. Just turning our attention for a couple of minutes to the NFL, because you had, as Pat talked to us about the Cowboys situation, so two situations for two different teams, and I'm interested how both of them end up, obviously, because you got the Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb. They get that deal done yesterday. I still, like I said before, I don't know what takes so long. You would think just get in the damn room and figure it out. Now, they got it done a solid week and a half before the opener, so he'll be on the field. Everything's fine, but you would have liked to have had him a little bit, I think, in the summer, getting his work in. But they get the deal done. That's a good thing. He mentioned the fact that there are those that think they'll get the Dak Prescott deal done before the start of the season, which I think would be great. But then what's going on in San Francisco is interesting, because that is a Super Bowl team, a team that is expected to be challenging to be in the Super Bowl and win it again next year, or this season, excuse me. And you've got the Brandon Ayuk contract. Trade him, don't trade him. And I wonder how that affects the team, or do you think it doesn't at all because they're just loaded across the board anyway?
It might a little, but I think there's probably more leverage for the team in that spot because, like you said, they're loaded at so many other spots. And, like, I know Debo Samuel is not a traditional wide receiver the way Ayuk probably is, but they paid Samuel already. Obviously, McCaffrey's there. You've got Kittle. So it's not like they, you know, are really relying heavily on this guy. He's a very good player. So, of course, you'd rather have him than not. But, you know, we talk about, hey, the cap doesn't really exist. I mean, to some extent it does, especially when you're a Super Bowl team that's probably up against it already, and you've already done a lot of those sort of moving things around or with mirrors stuff to get around the cap, at least in the given year. So from that standpoint, you know, I get maybe more where they're kind of drawing a line in the sand. For the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb is their best offensive
player.
He's
a lot.
So, you know, not having him in a season where the expectations are what they are, especially for the head coach, you could see where the player had a little bit more leverage than the team.
Yeah, I think the one thing, and you're right about that, I think the one thing with Ayuk, though, is he does so much
for
that team. And I you're right. They are loaded, as I said. I know they're a great team, probably with or without him. But I do wonder if it lingers on. It's still a conversation in the locker room. And I can certainly make the case, you know what, once you kick off, all that stuff's out of your mind and you're just playing the game. But it is something that's going to kind of hover if they don't figure it out, whatever they do. You know, they had that deal in place, I think, the parameters of a deal with Pittsburgh. They ultimately didn't do it.
Yeah, I feel like he's been close to being traded multiple times this summer, and it hasn't come to be just yet.
Right, and yet here we are, 9-10 days away from the start of the season, and that has not been figured out. Now, I know things happen quickly. The CeeDee Lamb thing went from, my gosh, Saturday, when they were getting set to play the Chargers, the reports were the two sides hadn't even talked in a few days, kind of just getting away from it. And I'm thinking, well, that's not a good sign. And yet here we are on Monday afternoon, and the deal gets done because they finally did get together and figured it out.
That's funny, because I feel like I was doing updates on the network Friday, maybe it was, and there I saw something from Jerry Jones where he said he felt confident that they were going to,
well,
they were close or getting it done.
He's always said that.
Yeah.
If you even go back to when he talked about that urgency clip, which I think in a snippet didn't look good or sound good, when he came back out the next day and really was kind of trying to clean it up, it made sense. And I think the fact that they've been together so long at this point now, you know, they kind of knew one another. Maybe the idea of just, hey, let's take a break for a couple of days and we'll come back with some fresh ideas. Perhaps maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But it did seem like they were close for a few weeks. And just, you know, maybe it's the cap. Maybe it's the guaranteed money. Trying to figure Dak's contract out as well. Because you can't, you know, it's the one thing you talk about the cap being fake. And I agree with that because they manipulate the cap in so many different ways. But a team that has been impacted, even though they still win, the Chiefs. I mean, clearly they have lost guys because of the salary cap, and yet because they've got Mahomes and Kelce, they've been able to withstand it. Not many teams can do that.
No, and the Chiefs have taken sort of that, I'm not going to say it's a complete reversal because you still have Mahomes, but like even, you know, a lot of last regular season, they were getting by on what they were doing on defense,
mm-hmm.
right? Because what was happening was, all right, you think about Mahomes in the offense, so they lost some guys to free agency or that went elsewhere after the Super Bowls, and then they would take those later picks they were getting and they hit on some defensive guys late first round, and all of a sudden you've got this young, really talented defense. I mean, yes, Chris Jones is there, but they got a lot of good guys in the secondary that were drafted after the Mahomes era began, and you've got a stud defensive coordinator in Spag. So like it's sort of like that rotation of, oh, we're really good on offense, but then, oh, we got to pay too many guys. And if you can't then plug the holes either with young guys on offense or have your defense step up a little bit, that's where it becomes hard to sustain that, you know, dominance or dynasty era that they're sort of in the midst of right now. And they've had it on both sides of the ball at times, but that's the exception rather than the rule.
The one thing I wish, and I don't know if it'll ever happen, it probably won't. One thing I wish they would get away from or maybe change the cap structure. I hate that you get penalized for not being able to keep guys you drafted, meaning you have seven rounds every year, right? Seven rounds.
Yep.
A lot of the guys don't hit. I mean, that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. If you look at every draft, I mean, there are first round picks that don't hit. The sixth and seventh rounders, a lot of those guys have
a lot
of coffee.
Yeah,
you just, you don't know. So for when you do draft well, the reward should be, you know what? Maybe if you drafted a guy, he's not relevant to the cap. Or maybe the cap is a number just for free agents because I don't know. Like you bring a guy in from college, you kind of work him through the system, turns out to be a good player, but now it's, can you fit him in the cap to keep him?
Right.
And I think that, and that's different to me than just going out and plucking guys out of free agency.
And if he's not a first rounder, you don't even have the fifth year option at your disposal.
That's
just for the first round picks. And I get that if you exercise that, it's going to be a decent number against the cap. They're not getting paid peanuts on those fifth-year options, especially the higher you were picked, the bigger the number is. And yes, we've seen, you know, the franchise tag comes into play, but that's expensive on a one-year basis. So, yeah, I get that. I think that's where, especially with the quarterback, that's why the young quarterbacks play much quicker than they ever
that's
did
true.
Because they know, hey, that clock starts ticking. If he's a first-rounder, yes, we have the fifth-year option as a choice. But once they get to free agency or that next contract, that big extension, that, you know, AAV and cap numbers going through the roof, and then you're taking away from the rest of your roster to pay your quarterback.
No, there's no question. And I'm with Boomer. I think the quarterback should max out at a certain percentage of the team. If it's the cap or whatever the team
number
is.
Almost like it's separate to the rest of the roster.
It has to, because you've got, and this is not to pick on him at all, because I actually think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback, and I think he will have a decent season. But when you have guys making $40 and $50 million a year, like if Daniel Jones was cut tomorrow, let's just say it as it is. If Daniel Jones was released tomorrow, who's paying him $40 million to be a quarterback? Right.
Right.
The Giants were in a spot where they kind of needed to pay him. I don't know why $40 million, but so be it. It's just the position. And this is not a Daniel Jones thing, because I can pick out numerous quarterbacks. He just happens to be here around the NFL that are they really worth that compared to what the running back is making or this defensive tackle that does so much more for the team? I don't know. It's just,
are they worth it? No, but I think the market dictates itself that way just because there aren't that many that are capable. Like,
But what does that mean that they get so much more money than everybody else?
Because
I get it, if you're winning and your numbers are great.
In today's NFL, it's hard to function without a capable quarterback.
But that's my point. Some of them aren't all that capable, and they're still getting paid as such they are.
Some, yeah. I mean, the Giants had to make a decision on Jones, and they were obviously hoping it would, you know, trend upwards the way he did in the playoff game against the Vikings. Now it's a situation where you enter a season where your cap is tied up to a huge number with him, and he's a question mark.
You know what reminds me?
When you sign the quarterback to the big contract, you can't enter the season having them be a question mark, or else you're behind the eight ball.
Right. This is what it reminds me of, the Hall of Fame question. I don't think that guy's a Hall of Fame. Great player, not a Hall of Famer. And it's like you insulted the guy.
I know.
It's the same thing. I'm not saying quarterback A isn't a good quarterback, but what I'm saying is he shouldn't be paid like Patrick Mahomes. That's what I'm saying. Because you're simply not on that level. And there's only a handful of guys in the league that do as much for their team as the top three or four or five quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're always pushing these contracts, and it's why the stories will always read, it's the most guaranteed money in NFL history until next week.
The next guy.
So you would think at some point the bubble bursts unless, you know, the cap continues to increase and increase, which I guess it could when league revenues, I don't know the mathematical formula that's tied into that. So I do understand that. The teams are making more. There's more money on the overall cap, so the salaries are going to increase. But with the quarterbacks, it does feel like in certain instances it's gotten out of control.
Out of control. Like if I was Patrick Mahomes' agent, and I know you can't do this with the cap, but you know what I would ask for? We're going to take this, and his contract was, I forget what it was, but it was a huge contract when he signed it.
Yeah, okay. But it was a lot of years as well.
It was a lot of years, and I don't know how like those back-end years work out. But
15 for 400? Or am I making that up?
I would have asked for, we'll sign this deal, but anytime anybody is making more than him per year, automatic raise to make a dollar more than that guy.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that anybody should be paid more than Patrick Mahomes at that position.
Or in the league,
quite frankly.
It was a 10-year, $477 million.
Okay, so 47 on average.
With another 26 million potential bonuses, so 503 was the max number.
And yet there are guys that will wind up making more than that now.
On a per year basis? Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Annual value.
For now, I mean,
like, make the case for me right now that there's someone that should make more money than Patrick Mahomes.
No, I would not do that.
Right, and that's where these contracts get goofy. In my opinion, well,
but that's why it has to do, you know, you sign it then and it's the highest and then someone blows by you. And
well, that's why I just said, if I'm his agent.
No, I know.
I want a clause.
And they asked Josh Allen that, I think it was last week, and I applaud him for his answer. And it was basically like, well, look how you're being paid compared to some of these other guys now. And he's like, you know, I'm good. I had my day a few years ago. You know, I'm content. It's kind of like what Jalen Brunson said when he took less and did the press conference to become captain. He's like, look, I'm well off. My family's taken care of. You know, I'm comfortable with it. So I know not everybody operates that way, and that's fine, to each their own. And some of it depends on family, what state you're living in, the taxes. That's Boomer specialty, not mine. But I like, you know, the guys that recognize, look, I'm the face of the franchise. If I take a little bit less, it helps us become a better team overall. Obviously, it's a ridiculous amount of money we're talking about. You know, the Mahomes families are right there involved in, I think the Britney's involved in ownership of a soccer team or something.
Why?
They got all kinds
of, with the money.
They got all kinds of stuff going on. He's involved with the Royals, so they'll be fine. They're well taken care of.
Oh, I know that. That's why I always wonder, and I don't know if we'll ever know. Maybe a book will be written one day, what Brady was getting. There had to be something else
on the
side. Or he's just the greatest human being I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Take less, want to win, and do more with the money.
I think something tells me he's been very well compensated in some way, shape,
That's
or
what
form
I'm saying.
Over the years.
Yeah. I figure at some point that will come out that, you know, he's a half ownership of Gillette.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Very
stock
quietly.
Options or something.
My God.
Yeah.
Before we break, so mention the Cowboys. How do you look at this NFC East? Because Washington's a weird team with Dan Quinn. They got the rookie quarterback.
With Cliff Kingsbury running the offense.
That too. No idea what the Giants are. Is it to you this is the Eagles' division to win or lose?
That's the way I see it. I don't take this the wrong way. I've never been a big Dak guy. Like, I reckon he's good. You know, I understand why they win games every year, but like, I don't. When I look at the division, I don't, and they've killed the Giants, so who am I to say that? But I don't, I do. I see it as an Eagles division to lose, and I know there was questions about Sirianni potentially losing his job out of last year, and Hurts maybe took a little bit of a step back. Seemed like he wasn't fully healthy. So I think starting the season, at least right now, it seems like that'll be the case, and they've obviously added Saquon, and they're kind of not an exact comparison, but I feel like their roster is built to win now, sort of the way the Jets is. Obviously, it's a much younger quarterback than Aaron Rodgers is in Hurts.
Experience though now.
But yeah, that's how I feel. That's sort of the next, that's the next step for them.
Yeah, I see. I get the... It's funny how some people will put Dak as like a top 5 or 6 or 7 quarterback, and then other people think he's like terrible. I mean,
I don't think he's terrible. I just don't. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to like take them over the top.
See, I do.
Yeah,
I really.
Really well last year. I can't take that away from him.
You need a complete effort. Like last year, if you look at that terrible postseason game against Green Bay. I will tell you, at least watching it and covering it, I thought they were out coached, and defensively they just got picked apart. And that game got away. So it was kind of like the opener with the Giants at MetLife Stadium. The Giants go down the field on that first drive and picked apart the Cowboys defense. And if it wasn't for the blocked field goal return for a touchdown, yeah. who knows where that game goes.
Right.
And then it snowballed. Just like that game against the Packers, the game snowballed, and you look up and you're down 3 touchdowns, and things kind of change.
And that's where, and it's somewhat unfair to him because not everybody's Patrick Mahomes or whatever other top 5 quarterback you want to give me. But I feel like Dak is certainly serviceable. He's definitely in the top half of the league. If you even want to give me top 10, I don't know that I would go that far. But like you said, if the other things and are breaking down, and people have their critiques of McCarthy and of the defense, I feel like a lot has to be in place around him. I don't look at him a guy that's going to pull them from the jaws of defeat and take them over the top. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe that's
NFC
East bias. I don't know.
I think he's been a complete quarterback. He's made some mistakes in big spots for sure. I mean, I wouldn't argue that point, but I do think he is the guy that could get them over the top at that position. Just have to see it, though. And you know what? Before you even do that, you got to win some playoff games.
Well, that's...
That would help.
Part of where my doubt comes into play. And he's not the only one. It's not the only team. We talked yesterday about the Ravens. I feel kind of the same way with Lamar Jackson. So until they prove it, until I see it, I'm still going to have that doubt and that question mark.
All right, when we come back, we got Pat Boyle for you coming up at 8 o'clock. We've got Dylan Harper and Steve Peichel joining us for a little while. And then more of your calls, beyond the zero that we've had so far. 888-808-1019 is the number. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Tuesday morning, what's up? 7:25, Built Ford Tough Studio, the Boomer and Geo program at CeeLo and Jerry. We got Fliegelman and Rascone here, and in for Chris, who's in for me, is Pat Boyle. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Morning. How we doing?
Did you skip the mints this hour? You all set over there?
Yeah, mint-free. Right.
Good. I mean, I guess that's good, but not good at the same time.
What? Well, I had a mint right before I came in. Okay. I was able to...
You finished it in time this hour.
Let me do the Boomer. I was able to finish that one before I got in here.
Good. What kind of error? You called it a catastrophic error or mistake in the first hour.
Yeah,
I thought that was a little extreme.
I'm going to choose my words correctly here. I was having the mint, and it wasn't being broken down quick enough.
You just spit it out.
Yeah,
I'd be done with it.
Yeah, just popped it out.
All right. Very good.
But no mint this time. We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And we're brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Could you tell I missed one of the reads from last hour?
I could, yes, but I was going to let that slide.
Okay.
I'm glad you pointed it out, though. We're taking ownership of your mistakes. We're getting better
every hour here.
We've all been there. We understand.
Nice little tone setter right out of the gate last night in D.C.
The 3-1 pitch to Torres is swung on and hit in the air to deep left field. Back goes the left fielder to the wall. She's gone. Oh, how about Gleyber?
Ricky Ricardo here on the Fan. Gleyber Torres has now reached safely in the first inning. 6 straight games. Extends his on-base streak to 21 games with that homer to start last night's contest. Yankees beat the Nationals 5-2. Their lead in the AL East is now 2 games, with the O's having last night off. I mentioned to you guys yesterday, you know, Glaber's basically having his hottest stretch of the season, and his OPS in August is still like major league average.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, who knows?
It's a big improvement from where he was at. It's a big improvement out of what they were getting out of the leadoff spot from other guys.
That's exactly what I was
going
to say.
So if he's going well, leave him there until he's not.
I mean, if he reaches safely in the first inning and then doesn't get on base again, I mean, at least it's better than nothing.
Anytime he's on base ahead of Soto and Judge, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And Chris figured it out before, too. Judge...
No, I didn't. People were sending it
to me. Oh, fine.
Okay. Fleeks told me, I think, as well.
From May on, so getting rid of April and those couple of games in March, from May on, batting 375.
Who's this?
Judge.
Oh,
since
yeah.
the end of April. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I think the home run pace, if you take out April, he'd be on pace at like 76 home runs.
Yeah, makes sense. I think he's had 43 since the end of April.
Yep. Yeah. So, and Judge, by the way, two more highlights in this one. Not at the plate. He did go 1-for-4 with a double, but with the glove, robbed Jose Tena with a leaping grab at the track in dead center in the second inning, and then the tremendous web gem. Perfectly timed leap at the wall in left center to take a home run away from Andres Chaparro and then throw back to first base for the double play. Judge, by the way, that double 1,000th career hit, he didn't even know it.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I really didn't know what they were doing trying to take that ball or hold on to that ball. So got to figure it out after the inning. But
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
No, just a great accomplishment. You know, it's a blessing to get a chance to play in this game long enough to reach that milestone, but more work to be done.
I'm surprised no one told him that.
Beforehand?
Yeah, like, I don't even mean like right before the game, so it's on his mind, but almost like after the previous game. Hey, by the way, you know you're sitting at 999 hits?
I guess, because people are so busy lauding all the home runs and kind of lost track of that.
That's true. I always wonder, is that like somebody, you know, in the... I guess either broadcast team or the media relations who put together the game notes.
Yeah, it's definitely in the game notes.
Like they,
I'm sure.
did they bring that attention then to Boone, or do they say, hey, like, do they go straight to Judge? Like, if I'm the media relations guy for the Yankees that puts together the game notes, so I say, hey, Aaron, 999 career hits, by the way.
I don't know. Well, they didn't, because like you just heard, he wasn't somebody in the dugout knew because they got that ball right away. I'm not saying this to correct you to give you a hard time, but it was noticeable to me last night watching as well. You would think double because it got to the wall.
Oh, it was a single.
But it was so hard. They were playing, you know, and plus they were leading. I think he wasn't trying to push it, so it maybe could have been a double, but it ended up a single.
There's another Pat Boyle mistake.
No, because
I was watching that game half awake.
You watch the ball off the bat, he hits it down the line, it goes to the wall, you would assume double.
I was watching that game half awake, and I didn't even think to look at the box score. I just remember he had an 0-for going into that, and I saw the ball go down the line. I was like, oh, double.
I think that's what most people would have assumed, so I'm right there with you.
Are we going to, oh, should we dog him for not running out of the box?
No, I'm not going to dog him. I like I said, I think he realized the spot in the game wasn't, you know, they're up 3, it's the 9th. There's one out, I guess.
Yeah, they're showing CBS Sportsnet.
The right fielder was on top of it pretty quick.
He's undoggable.
I don't think he was jogging out of the box. Let's see here. We got the ISO on him. I mean, that's
a jog.
Not for Judge.
It's in between a sprint and a jog.
Yeah, that's what we talked about earlier. Everything he does just looks smooth. Like he's not. I don't know. I don't look at him as a guy that's really like going hardcore sprint. But maybe I'm wrong on that.
No, that's fair. Nestor Cortez, by the way, got the win 6 2/3, one run allowed. He did have a 20 1/3 scoreless inning streak that was snapped when he gave up a solo home run.
And you want to know what, Pat? That is why he is our Thrivewell player of the game.
Cortez sets up the chest, delivers. Swung on and missed. He got him.
Four-seamer.
Nestor Cortez Jr., the Hialeah kid, strikes out the side and leaves the bases loaded.
Yeah, huge.
What a job by Cortez to get out of trouble.
And that is why he is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. That was a huge spot in that game.
Yep.
where the Nationals could have made a mess of it, and instead he came through with flying colors.
Yep, that was second and third. Nobody out to start the bottom of the
sixth.
Yeah, because then he ended up going six and two-thirds. So, bottom of the sixth, second and third, nobody on, and he ends up striking out three guys, mostly with the fastball like we were talking about last hour.
And he had the walk as well, which eventually loaded the bases.
Right.
And that's where him emptying, going four-seam there, assume Susan said, you were thinking, all right, maybe he figures this is it, empty the tank, I'm done. And they did run him back out there, and he got another out, but he gave up the homer as well.
And he walked the lefty Wood.
Yes.
And when Chaparro came up, I remember watching it, and Rucco's like, lighter's ready. And I thought Boone was going to take him out. I'm surprised Boone let him pitch to him.
I'll tell you what, Leiter is not, is ready.
Because, he stinks.
I mean, where is it here? I wrote it down. 13 games pitched now for the Yankees, 6.35 ERA, and whip north of two.
And think about the way started. It started out really well for him.
Yeah.
Those first couple games, yeah. He pitched himself in and out of trouble.
Yeah.
Big spots.
A lot of traffic on the base.
You know,
pass.
Mark Leiter Jr. looks like he should be Matt Harvey at the end of Matt Harvey's career, like after just partying and everything else and just ripping heaters. Like, he looks like he rips heaters in the bullpen right before he comes out.
Maybe he does.
He's got that awful mullet mohawk. I hate that.
The mullet mohawk.
That's right. Somewhere, someone watching right now hates the slick back hair you're wearing.
It's funny. I was noticing that earlier, but I didn't want to comment on it because, again, who am
I? Is it slick back or is it push back?
It looks
slick a little
back,
of both.
Especially if you turn the other way.
It's also
he's
giving
got the
you,
part line going yeah. there.
Well, that's the natural part line.
And a bigger forehead than you have.
I have a big forehead, or he has a bigger forehead?
No, and because you pull it back tight, it makes your forehead look bigger.
Wow. And I look like I got a five head going.
Are you growing it out? Are we due for a cut here soon?
No, we're due for a cut in about another week.
Another week.
This isn't that long. Usually
a month
between haircuts.
Okay. Yeah, I'm usually about 3 weeks. I got the thick hair and I'm 2 weeks.
Yeah,
wow.
So
2 weeks.
And it ain't to cut the hair on my head, I can tell you that. The back of the neck. My hair stopped growing up top.
Okay. You got like the Armenian back neck going into the back hair?
Yeah, but no, it's weird. No back hair though.
Really?
It's bizarre. Yeah, the neck hair.
Just the back
gross.
Of the neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going not for the haircut, you're going for the neck shave.
For the cleanup, yeah.
Well, can't you just get a trim? Or do you pay for a trim, or do you pay for, you just get...
No, because, they shave the side, they do everything.
Trim it up a little bit.
I'm just saying, it's not like I'm sitting there and they're with scissors. There's nothing to cut. It's awful. It's the sides and the back of the neck. It's what it is.
You probably could be saying, hey, can you just give me a shape up?
Oh, shut up. I'm going in.
I'm trying to save you maybe $8 to $10 every time.
We're good. We're fine.
Shave it off the monthly bill, Jer.
Yeah, right, exactly. That and HBO Max.
Yeah,
gone.
So,
gotta go.
Clay Holmes, by the way, 28th save. And, yeah.
Yeah. Did you call tonight?
Did you guys see, by the way, the Danny Jansen playing?
Yes. Yeah.
I think we made a lot out of that.
I could care
really
less.
Not that big a deal. I know it's never happened before, which I guess is interesting, but they made it sound like it was Bugs Bunny, that he had the gear on, took the gear off, then was hitting, put the gear back on.
Well, yeah, that he changed jerseys in the middle of the game.
That's exactly
the
game started in late June. Would be cool.
Right. Yeah.
That would be cool.
That has happened, I believe, has it not? Where guys have been traded in between doubleheaders? Different game.
Okay.
Yes, that's definitely
different. Yeah, doubleheader, yes. Not
that to me is cooler than what we were dealing with yesterday. Yeah. It's not that big a deal.
Walk to the other clubhouse.
Yeah. And I understand he's in the same box score.
Yeah. It's cooler to look at in the box score than what went down yesterday, last night.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's. I'm glad that you guys don't care that much.
How about
as I do.
How about the Royals sweeping the Guardians within
one game? Yeah, it's gonna. I'm telling you, these teams, they're fake.
A lot of mediocre.
There is. That's why I think the Yankees are going to waltz to the ALCS, and if it's not the Astros waiting for them, they're going to play. Listen, I hope the Mets make the playoffs. How cool though? And if this didn't get ratings, baseball should shut down. A Yankee-Dodger World Series with Judge and Ohtani.
That would be pretty sick.
Ohtani and Betts, Judge and Soto. I mean, that would really be something. But then again, if the Astros are in their way, who the hell knows? That's been their kryptonite, as we know.
Yeah, Phillies beat the Astros yesterday 3-2 and 10. Harper had a walk-off single. I'm just looking here. The Mets got no help. Braves beat the Twins.
Yeah, they did.
Padres beat the Cardinals.
No help. Yep.
None.
I did note that as well. Not
none
what
whatsoever.
So it's three full games for them now.
I think it's four in the loss column,
isn't it?
I think it might be.
The standings right here.
How about we all just make noises?
It's three in the loss column.
Three in the loss column.
My bad. Three in the loss column.
Three total. They've now played the same exact amount of games.
Yep.
So you got a nice even number there. Mets starting their series tonight with the Diamondbacks. That's 9:40 first pitch. Sean Manaea versus Eduardo Rodriguez. Football, CeeDee Lamb again finally got his bag. 4 years, $136 million with $100 million guaranteed and $38 million due to him right at signing. So now right behind Justin Jefferson for the highest paid receiver in football.
When do signing bonuses start to come to radio people? That would be cool.
That would be Peter Schwartz.
Right, exactly.
Schwartz signing bonus is just another boomer signed memorabilia. So Jefferson's $35 million a year, Lamb 34 a year. Elsewhere, the Chiefs have reunited with Juju Smith-Schuster. This is from Sunday, but Juju got released by the Patriots earlier this month, just a year after signing a three-year $25 million contract with them. But this signals perhaps two things. One, a more concerning cloud over the injury status of Hollywood Brown, who the big offseason acquisition for Kansas City had that dislocated shoulder. What was it called? A sternoclavicular dislocation?
Sure.
Yeah, basically like the dislocated his shoulder and his collarbone and the same thing in the preseason opener. They're also counting on rookie Xavier Worthy, who broke the 40-yard dash record in April. But also a side effect of this, or at least from the reporting I've seen from some Chiefs beat writers, they think Kadarius Toney gets cut today.
That'd be a
shame. Would anybody be shocked?
That's too bad.
I mean, no, but just, no, you know, the roster cutdown day in the NFL, deadline at 4 p.m., scary day.
Wasn't Toney the one that had the that gaffe in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of gaffes.
No, I know, but specifically the one on that weird play that went for a touchdown that got called back because he lined up offsides. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah. Was that the playoffs or was that the regular season game against the Bills?
Oh, maybe it was regular season. I thought it was a playoff game.
But there were numerous gaffes for him.
I mean, he had his one moment in the sun in the Super Bowl, the punt return a couple years ago. But young Joka, I remember when, I'll never forget Gio playing his stuff when he got drafted here by the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And now
free.
Could be getting cut today. And another former Giants receiver who already got cut, Sterling Shepard by the Buccaneers yesterday. Mm. But I did see Rappaport report that they're still holding a practice squad spot for him, so...
Wow.
Maybe they can find a way to get him on the active roster at one point, but that... You know.
I give him a lot of credit, man. I mean, he's been through a lot, health and injury-wise. I mean, if we're talking practice squad for him now, I mean, it's impressive that he still wants to go through that at this point, considering, you know, some of the physical...
How old is he?
Is he even 30? He's got to be 31.
I think he's in his 30s now.
Okay.
He's been in the league for, what, 8-9 years now?
Is he that long?
Yeah.
He is...
I would have said he's like 28.
No, he's 31.
Yeah. 31, all right.
2016 draft.
And what's amazing is that sounds old, and it's not.
Well, for an NFL wide receiver who's had the type of injuries that he has...
Well, for the injuries, yes. Yeah. For an NFL wide receiver, 31, you still got time. But with those injuries, you're right.
You know, guy that's really established. Yeah. You know, the early part of his career looked promising, but then it just...
He's hanging by a thread now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Nick Chubb, the running back from the Browns, who suffered the horrific leg injury early last year, not ready just yet to start the year, so Cleveland leaves him on the PUP list. That means he has to miss at least the first four games of the year. I don't know about you guys. I think the Browns are going to be god-awful this year.
God-awful?
God-awful.
Wow.
Mostly because I think Deshaun Watson just... flat out stinks now and is never going to be 100% healthy again.
Well, we'll
I think them and the Steelers are competing to see who's worse in the AFC North.
No Joe Flacco to save the day for the Browns.
Yeah, well, Tomlin will find a way to win 7 or 8 games.
9 if he wants to keep his streak going.
9 if he wants to keep the streak going.
Right.
Browns, I think, win 5.
5 wins for the Browns. All right. Well, we'll see.
I think they're going to be that. And their offensive line, which was their saving grace, they got like so many guys that are hurt. Both their tackles. Anyway.
All right.
And then later
I appreciate you putting that out there.
Yeah. Well, there you go. A little prediction. You get updates and you get predictions. Later this afternoon, we'll find out which JV heroes from this preseason are going to make the Jets and the Giants. So I'll have more on the intricacies of both teams here in New York, either next hour or 9:20.
Oh, the intricacies.
Yeah,
another vocab word from him this morning.
You've been impressive with these words.
How'd you
today?
Do on the SAT? Terrible. What was your verbal on the SAT? What do we got? What do we get?
Well, you had, so was
now when you took it, was it 1600?
No, it was 24. Oh, so we had the three sections.
2400?
Well, they added the third section, and then they did away with it again.
Oh. So you had the writing, which I got a 7.
The
writing, I got a 710.
Okay.
The reading comprehension, I sucked at. I got like a 580.
Okay.
So you got over almost 1300.
Well, no. But then what was the math?
Math was 710 as well.
Pretty good.
2,000 out of 2,400?
Yeah. And wanted to go to Notre Dame, still couldn't get in.
I think
2000. Here he is sitting with us.
I'd have to. I don't even know if I could check it. I think I got like 820 on my SAT.
Stop it!
Swear to God.
Don't you get what's that? Is that a myth? Don't you get 800 for signing your name?
That's
or something?
What people say. I don't believe that.
I didn't even show up for mine.
That's
I was going
perfect.
To game one Yankees Padres 98 World Series. I didn't even show up. Never took the SATs in my life.
Wait a second. You're a Met fan.
Yeah.
And you passed on the SATs to go to the Yankees
Padres? My first World Series game of my life, yeah.
That was the Tino Grand Slam?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I don't blame at all.
That actually worked out pretty nicely.
Didn't even show up, never took the SATs
in
my life.
Where did you sit for that game? Do you remember?
Right. He hit the ball right over my head.
I was going to ask. Dude, that's one of my favorite home runs ever. Because that ball off the bat looks like a line drive, and it's the third deck, correct?
Yes, it went right over my head. I was in the field level in right field.
That was, what, a Saturday game?
A bomb.
Saturday game.
Because then they played Sunday, which I worked here, well, in Astoria, and then went right over. I had a press pass that they got me to cover the game, and I was like game two of that series.
Very nice.
Yeah, how about that?
I've never been to the World Series. I had an opportunity to go. I went.
Yeah, that's a totally valid reason for skipping the SATs, but then the fact that you just never rescheduled another one.
So did you? I'm a high school dropout, dude. I didn't show up for any of those.
So you didn't go to college at all?
No.
Wait a second. You didn't graduate high school?
No.
Oh, wow. You know what? Now we've got a lot to get into on the post-game podcast. We may not be gone
and
by
I've
11.
Done podcasts
just prepared.
With him. I didn't know that story.
I didn't know that either.
I was very interested in his business. I didn't realize.
I mean, he and I found out on the air a couple weeks ago that we had
high school
same
dropout too.
I don't know, actually.
He's
that
got
I don't
that
know.
Shirt. Or is it college dropout?
Sal, I think, was college dropout.
I got my GED, but that's
say,
about
he's
it.
He's a very successful guy on the other side of the glass, by the way.
So.
He didn't even graduate high school.
If
look
I
at
knew
you.
Now, well, if I knew then what I know now, I would have dropped out when I was 10.
Well, good job, guys. We will see you next hour. When we come back, we got a whole lot more. 888-808-1019, top of the hour. Dylan Harper and Steve Peichel from Rutgers. It is CeeLo and Jerry for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, 7:45. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I see Dylan Harper has made it here, as Steve Peichel has as well. We will have them in coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And maybe a good transition into that. Chris, we got more with the NFL, obviously, we can get to. I see Dalvin Cook's going to meet with the Cowboys today, so that's kind of cool. Who knows? Maybe they sign him, maybe they don't. Did you by any chance see what Caitlin Clark did last night for the Indiana Fever?
I did not.
Okay.
I saw a couple of the highlights this morning while I was getting ready for the show. Saw a few things on social media, but not that I could specifically break down for you.
Now, I'm not the biggest WNBA fan, admittedly, but it's been around for, what, 20-something years now at this point? It's been around a long time. I mean, something like that.
Longer, yeah.
It might even be longer. So she actually broke or set two new records last night. Number one, she hit her, I think it was her 85th three-pointer of the season, which broke the record. If I read this correctly, because I didn't see the game, if I read it correctly, she broke the record by the girl who was guarding her last night.
Okay, that's
which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
That is kind of neat. And then the other one was she had, I think it was 19.7 assists. So that gave her 21st game this season of 15 points, at least 15 points and at least 5 assists in the same game. 21 most ever.
Yeah, I see that here. You had all your stats correct.
I got that lined up right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's amazing to me, and it's not exclusive to her, but the way the WNBA league works where they basically come out of the college season and go right into this. There's really no rest time. You know, in this case, they had a little time off with the Olympics because she wasn't involved with that. But I mean, when you consider the hype, the buildup, the anticipation, and I know it got off to maybe a little bit of a rocky start.
She was a rookie, sure.
She's a rookie, and the team.
She doesn't look like it now, though.
Right. I mean, she's lived up to a lot of what would have expected based on all the fanfare and, you know, the interest level. And let's face it, in some instances, not exactly being welcomed with open arms by certain areas of
clearly
the league or
yep
other teams that she's going up against. There's been a little of that sort of tough love and having to establish herself. So I think she's handled herself very well. And obviously the production has been there now.
You talk about going right from the college season right into it. I don't know. And this is, to me, the tough sell. And clearly she's doing anywhere she goes, that place is sold out. We saw last week the Sparks and the Suns sold out in Boston at TD Center, which is very cool. And that was not a game that she was involved in. The popularity is way up for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But her influence is pretty obvious as well. You talk about when they play, that's the tough thing. You know, I sit there and say, I don't watch it because summer is baseball for me. And it's just hard for me to change gears. I love the game. If the Mets aren't on, the Yankees are on. It's very rare that either of our local teams are not playing. So it just, it's hard to fit that into a schedule that's already jam-packed. And then you go into football season, and football season crosses over with the start of hockey and basketball and the end of baseball. I don't know where else you would play it.
Well,
that's the problem.
I think they do it when they do it because they're trying to maximize playing when some of the other leagues are not. Certainly the NBA. I mean, there's some crossover. Like, I'm looking at Indiana's schedule here. Their first game was May 14th. So obviously you still have some NBA playoffs going on. But a good chunk of the season is being played during the NBA offseason. Obviously the NFL is off, so probably feel like they're maximizing their exposure as best they can. Hockey off as well. Not that the... I don't know how much direct competition there is between the WNBA and the NHL, but...
You're still trying to get eyeballs to the sets. Yeah. And I think the hard thing for whether it's the WNBA, whether it's the USFL, the XFL, the arena, whatever league you want to talk about, it's hard to get your eyes away from the four major sports. And now, because the seasons are so... I mean, you can make the case, I guess, that when baseball, years and years ago, when baseball was 154 games... and the season was over earlier, maybe started slightly later. I'm not even sure how that would work, but there were less rounds of playoffs. So baseball might have been over the first week of October as opposed to now, where we go almost to November with baseball.
Yeah.
The hockey season, for God's sakes, they're playing the Stanley Cup Finals almost in July. Basketball goes to the end of June. Everything has gotten so incredibly stretched out and just a longer seasons.
Not a lot of breathing room.
Like, where do you fit in new sports? Like, I don't know how you do it. And to me, that's the biggest issue with, you know, gaining a new audience or gaining, you know, big baseball struggles with big ratings. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about how that's more of a regional sport. The amount of games, the day in, day out basis, you know, the regional broadcast versus the national broadcast. The rule changes we talked about yesterday have helped to a certain extent. But, yeah, I just think, I don't know, there's almost an oversaturation because of there's been teams added. Like you talked about, playoff rounds pretty much not in all sports, but the NFL and the baseball, which used to be the lesser. You know, sure. Hockey and the basketball, that format's been around for a while.
It has, but even basketball, I think if you go back 20 years, they had best of five series to start postseason.
Now they've added the play-in tournament, which is a little bit of a different wrinkle. You know, hockey changed up its division formats and the way they were seeding teams, but, you know, having essentially the 8 out of the 16 in each conference. I know the NBA is a little different now with the play-in, but baseball and football adding the extra rounds, football adding the extra game, and certainly seems like we're on the path towards getting to 18 at some point.
Oh,
I don't know if and when that's going to go down, but probably sooner rather than later. We talk. If they're going to add 18, let's knock another preseason game off because these preseason games are worthless.
I actually think, and maybe I don't play clearly, but I think even the players would tell you, if you added the extra bye weekend,
yeah,
I think 18 makes sense. I'd like it to go back to 16, personally. But if you got rid of the one preseason game, especially since all we're doing now, these scrimmages or what everybody's talking about are the big deal. So let's knock away the other preseason game. You have two. If you gave us an 18-game schedule with two byes in it now, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you could balance it out and give guys... while they're playing the extra game, they're getting more rest than they otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, right now you added the extra game, you still have the one bye. If you trade another game for another, that's, you know, one for one trade essentially.
Right.
And the other point that everyone has talked about, most likely if they do go to that 18 with the two byes, you kick the Super Bowl back to President's Day weekend. Most people get the Monday off.
Forever.
Yeah, well, I know. But now it seems like it's more of a realistic possibility.
It's the one, we've also talked about this for a long time. It's the one sport where they could play on the moon and we're watching.
Yeah. Or any day of the week.
They could play a game
in recent years.
Midnight, it would get ratings somehow. It really is remarkable what they've built. And I love football. I don't know that I like it any more than I did as a kid. But it's wall-to-wall football and people eat it up like crazy. And the fact that we've got next week a game Thursday night and Friday night.
Yes.
And then Monday night.
Yeah,
man.
4 out of 5 to get your season started.
I do wonder if they oversaturate it, because I will tell you for myself, if a Thursday night game is not worth watching, I'm probably not watching.
And I think that's been the issue in recent years, but if I'm not mistaken, I think this year's Thursday night schedule is supposed to be a little better. Maybe I have that wrong. I'd have to take a peek at that.
But I think the difference is on Sunday, whatever's on, I'm watching, because to me, that's NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
Thursday night, the game's got to be good for me to actually want to watch it, because I know I've got a full day of it on Sunday, and then usually Monday night, I'm probably putting it on as well.
Well, listen, week one, you know the Thursday, Ravens-Chiefs, to get it started, that doesn't even really count. It is a Thursday night game because it's the season opener. I'll take a glance here. Bills-Dolphins week two.
I would say a good very game, good game.
Right?
Yes,
not that we're going to do
I don't know if the Bills are going to be what they've been, but that's a great game.
Still the betting favorite in certain spots to win the division, but yeah, without Stephon Diggs and some other pieces that have left or injured. Patriots-Jets week three. We'll be locked in on that, obviously.
We'll watch that. That's a stinker. That should be a stinker of a game.
Okay, but locally here at least. Then the following week, Cowboys-Giants week four.
Okay.
Bucks-Falcons. Yeah. Divisional matchup could be
Bucks Falcons does not
have potential, but
so the Bucks are, I think, will be an average team again. And Kirk Cousins is intriguing in Atlanta, and they should be good. That's not a sexy matchup.
Okay, 49ers Seahawks.
Noticing
a trend here of divisional matchups.
Yep, that's fine. Yep,
Broncos Saints. No,
not interesting. Not interesting.
Vikings Rams.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Gotta see about the quarterback.
I don't
play
think it's great.
Minnesota.
It's okay. At that point, you'll know what they might be.
Yeah, you should.
Because that's what, week six?
Week eight, I think.
Oh, week eight.
Yeah. Week nine, Texans, Jets. That's if Rodgers is
should
healthy.
Should be good, yes.
That's a good
should
game.
Be good.
That's here at MetLife. Bengals, Ravens, always a good one.
Right.
Commanders, Eagles.
No.
So, well, we'll see about Jaden Daniels. Maybe Jaden Daniels
if
is
the
this
Commanders,
year's CJ Stroud.
Right. If that's the case, fine. But if as a rookie quarterback usually goes, and the Commanders are rebuilding and not so much, that could be a dud.
Steelers, Browns.
According to Pat Boyle, it's going to be two win teams.
That's true.
I don't buy that, but okay, that's interesting.
Bears, Lions. Oh, no, that's Thanksgiving, so that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Skip that.
Is that the Thanksgiving game? Bears, Lions?
Bears, Lions is game
one.
That's
a pretty good one.
Giants, Cowboys.
Okay.
Dolphins, Packers at night at Lambeau.
Okay. Finish up the Thursday night before we take a break.
Yeah. Packers, Lions the following week.
Great.
And then we've got, I'm waiting for this to load, Rams, 49ers.
Okay,
that's
good.
Week 16.
Should be. In the last 2 weeks.
And then things get funky because you got Christmas Day on the Wednesday. Seahawks, Bears, Thursday the 26th.
Yeah, that's okay.
And then is there one in week 18? Probably not.
Probably
right?
not. Not week.
Yeah.
I don't think
no,
week 18.
No, all Sundays. Yeah.
All right. So you got something to watch.
All right.
How about you?
Not terrible.
All right. When we come back, take a quick break. When we come back, we got Dylan Harper and Steve Peichel of Rutgers will be in studio. Then later on, we'll have more of you at 888-808-1. I got to stop saying that. More of you. More of who?
Well, just keep saying it. Eventually, it might be correct. We had a couple yesterday.
I'll keep giving the number. Anyhow, don't go away. We're coming right back on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.